long ago. Long ago for the people of Israel in the days when Moses was ancient history, but the birth of the Messiah still yet only a distant dream. Jerusalem, the city of God. Jerusalem had been conquered by an unstoppable foreign empire. Its walls brought to rubble, all its buildings razed. The people of Jerusalem who worshiped the one God of heaven and earth, they had become a conquered people, living in exile, made to survive in servitude to the empire that had conquered them, as an oppressed and humiliated underclass, living far from home, amid a nation of strangers, hostile to their needs. For generations, they languished. And though they lived in the empire, that is not what they lived on. What they lived on was the scriptures, the hope recorded in the ancient prophets. The Lord says, I will restore the fortunes of Judah and the fortunes of Israel and rebuild them as they were at first. In the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, there shall once more be heard the voice of those who sing as they bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, proclaiming, God's steadfast love endures forever. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made. The days are surely coming. The days are surely coming. The days are surely coming. That is the hope they lived on. And the days were coming. But it was many decades. It was many decades until the days of the prophet Isaiah, when Isaiah was no prophet yet, but just an ordinary man of faith, clinging to his ancestors' hopes that God's promises are unbreakable, that the day would come. And the day did come. Suddenly and swiftly, without warning, one great empire fell to another great empire, as every great empire always must fall. And the people of Israel were free. They were free to return home, free to return to Jerusalem and rebuild. It was to be the homecoming so long dreamed of. Finally, there was no empire oppressing them anymore. They could thrive, knowing that the produce of their work would not be devoured up by others. They could rebuild the city and live in the city of God as the people of God. And Isaiah, who was no prophet yet, returned with them. The problem was that the city that the exiles rebuilt, it was nothing like the gleaming Jerusalem of their dreams. The prophets, they had said that the wealth of the whole world would flood to them and that the marketplaces of Egypt would pale in comparison to those of Jerusalem. But Isaiah could see that the city's little bazaar had few goods on offer and even fewer customers able to buy. The land was supposed to be flowing with milk and honey, but just getting by was hard for everyone and harder every year. Many were simply destitute. There was not enough to go around. And so people held on to everything that they could. Employers, they would pay their laborers as little as they could get away with and worked them like pack animals because, after all, every penny counted, and if they did not want the work, there were 10 others desperate for the work. Years came and went, and things just weren't getting better. It was everyone for themselves. This wasn't how things were supposed to be. Where are the promises of God? And so Isaiah, along with the rest of Jerusalem, Isaiah threw himself headlong into prayer and devotion. The city was seized by a kind of frenzied, desperate piety. People would refuse to eat anything at all, coming to the temple fainting with hunger, and they would burn to ash upon the altar, feasts that they would refuse to take a single bite from. And then, dizzy from hunger, they would bow down over and over like tall marsh grasses in a gale wind, day and night. Sacrificial smoke rose from the city while ram's horn trumpets blasted out to God, "Why aren't you keeping your promises?" And Isaiah, who was no prophet yet, was among them. What makes one person a prophet and another not? It's a mystery, I think. Perhaps Isaiah one night had departed from the temple exhausted, hoarse-voiced and back-sore from praying, walking home through the city's darkening streets, past the threadbare marketplace with its now shuttered stalls where people picked through the earth for scraps. Those who had gone hungry that day, they'd gone hungry that day not from deep piety but from abysmal poverty, out past the servants laboring late into the night, far past the sun's setting, late into the night for masters who worked them to the bone every day for thin wages as they eyed with worry the aged beggars that might very well be their future, the aged ones covered in rags, too old to work, of no use to anyone anymore, past the poor districts where no one could be bothered to repair the ruined walls or restore the broken streets, through the city where a few had much and some had a little and most had nothing at all. And it was so familiar. It was just the same as when they had lived in exile, just the same as when the empire had been oppressing them and the produce of the work of many would flow to the hands of a few. But that empire was dead and gone, and the people were free, and the city that they had built of their own choosing, the city they had built with their own hands, was one of filth. And the word of God came to Isaiah, and it took Isaiah's heart and mind and soul and strength and poured it out in ink on scroll, a flood of ink that washed away night's long darkness in its writing and left mourning in its wake in the city streets, sliding beneath Isaiah's feet. And it took him back to the temple, back to where the people of God were gathering again to fervently call out to God with their pleas, seeking an answer from God for why. And the word of God that day was for the people of God. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Do not hold back. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on the fast day and oppress all your workers. Is such the fast that I choose? Is it a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush? Will you call this a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house when you see the naked to cover them? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn. Then your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. Then you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. It was the word of God for the people of God who had forgotten what it meant to be the people of God. You see, they had been living for so long. They had been living for so long in the heart of empire that they had forgotten there was any other way to live. They had lived as an oppressed underclass for so long that they somehow had forgotten that there ought not be an underclass at all, least of all amongst the people of God. The people had brought the empire back with them and rebuilt it on Jerusalem's stones, simply changing around who was playing what roles. They had been shaped by the values of the empire, and among all the people in Jerusalem, praying fervently to God to restore the glory of the city. Isaiah alone was able to hear that it was not the city's streets that needed restoration. It was the city's people that needed to be restored. In exile, they had lived on Scripture. They needed to live on Scripture in Jerusalem too. You see, that is what Jerusalem is. It is not simply a place. Jerusalem can be destroyed and rebuilt, and it is still Jerusalem. It is not simply a place. It is an entire structure of life and of living. In the book of Revelation, eternal life is envisioned as playing out in a new Jerusalem, where all are cared for and none left wanting, and the tears are wiped from every eye. In the Bible, Jerusalem is the place where the will of God is done on earth as it is in heaven. It is when God reigns. And the logic of the reign of God, the logic of the reign of God is not the same as the logic of empire. The logic of empire, where some may prosper only because many must go without. The power of the reign of God is not the same as the power of empire, where many must be powerless for anyone to be powerful, where many must be voiceless for any to have voice. In the reign of God, it is different. In the reign of God, everyone must have power for the whole to be mighty. Everyone must have voice for what is spoken by the community to have any truth. Everyone must have enough, if any, are to prosper. It is a totally different way of viewing how it is that the world works. Now, this is not a question of hope. Do not mistake me on this. This is not a question of hope. Hope is what the Israelites had when they were calling out to God for God to make the world what they wished it could be. This is rather a question of faith. This is a question of whether a person, whether a society, whether a city, whether a people of God will live out the reign of God. Part of faith, part of the life of faith, is living like we know that the way of God is wiser and better than other ways of structuring common life. Part of faith is to live so that the reign of God need not be a dream. It need not be tomorrow. That the reign of God is now, right now, or it is not at all. From the prophet Isaiah, learn this lesson. We must fast. We must pray. But when we fast, when we pray, when we seek to know God's ways and draw close to God and remind the throne of heaven about the promises that God has made, we do this not so that God might keep God's promises, but so that we ourselves might keep to the promise God has placed in us. May it be so.